Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 72 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
They need a plan, and the plan needs to include fundraising beyond what they've normally done.
The city of Moorhead plans to put conditions on funding for the Kentucky Folk Arts Center.
Recycling in Moorhead is on the rise.
A groundbreaking for Brady Industries will be held tomorrow near Grayson.
Officials with the Lexington Fire Department say an explosion at the UPS facility was an accident.
Two Fleming County men have been indicted on child abuse charges.
In sports, the Vikings face Greenup County tonight for the 16th regional championship.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy skies with a low around 69. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The city of Moorhead passed the first reading of its 2018-19 budget during a special meeting today, but some council members are hesitant about providing funding for the Kentucky Folk Arts Center. State funding for the center was cut for the biennium, and Moorhead State University has asked for the community to help keep the doors open. The city, county fiscal court, Tourism and the MSU Foundation have all discussed giving $25,000 each for the facility's operations. Councilman Glenn Teager expressed concern about approving that funding.
One of the things that I said as we put this budget together is that I wouldn't vote for it unless I saw a plan of operations of what's going to change, what their expectations is. I would ask that money not be dispersed until they show proof of need and proof of that they didn't get the grant, and not just be a check for $10,000, but we would pay as we go when and if they run out of funds.
The council kept the funding for the Folk Arts Center in the budget, but agreed that parameters would need to be set before the city provided the money.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the city, Moorhead Tourism Commission, and Rowan County are hoping to partner in a deal to lease Moorhead State University's Laughlin Health Building. Trent says the facility would provide local residents with the kind of indoor recreation and wellness facility that they've never had before.
We see this not as a 20-year, a long-term situation. We see it as more of a shorter term that will continue to create the need and also kind of bridge the gap between now and when we're able to build our own indoor recreation center, which is still one of our goals to happen in the next, hopefully, 3 to 4 years.
Over the years, the city has rented space from the Rowan School System, or MSU, for its recreational activities. According to Trent, the classrooms in Laughlin could be used for programs for seniors or after-school initiatives for kids. The proposal calls for the city, county, and tourism to lease the building from MSU for the cost of its utilities, which annually runs in the neighborhood of $190,000.
Several company officials and dignitaries will be on hand at 1 p.m. tomorrow at the East Park Industrial Center in Greenup County as Brady Industries officially breaks ground on its planned $1.3 billion high-tech aluminum plant. The mill is expected to employ 550 workers, making a yearly average salary of $70,000 by 2020. Ashland Alliance President and CEO Tim Gibbs took part in the effort to attract Brady to the area. Gibbs calls the company's decision to build here a game changer.
It's an anchor for Northeast Kentucky. I don't want to use Toyota as an example, but Toyota was really about the only other project in the state history that was larger in impact as far as financially than Brady will be. And having this in this region, you know, there's been a series of other companies that's going to follow them as well that needs to be around them, that either supplies them or takes their materials and value adds them as well.
Tomorrow is also First Friday in Ashland, and the city will be closing off a section of its downtown for a celebration paid for by Brady Industries. It starts at 5 p.m. and runs until midnight. The event will feature food and entertainment, including music from country music legend Tanya Tucker. Former Reds pitcher Bronson Arroyo and his band will also perform.
The head of the Rowan campus of Maysville Community and Technical College says the school's new home at the MMRC Industrial Park has really improved things for its staff and students. For one thing, director and MCTC Chief Operating Officer Russ Ward says it includes the new Center for Advanced Manufacturing, which was added to the educational experience at the school. Ward adds the building's 87,000 square feet of space has also allowed it to expand several programs.
There's days it seems like there's not a lot of people here, but we're so spread out now with a larger campus that, you know, people actually have the room to do what they need to do. And with all the updated technology, I think it's been a real blessing for the students and for the region as a whole.
The new Rowan Campus Center for Maysville Community and Technical College opened in early January. The industrial park later this year will break ground on a $5 million companion building that will rent to the school for its so-called high bay programs, such as automotive, diesel, and HVAC tech.
More waste in Moorhead is being recycled instead of going to the landfill. That's according to Moorhead Community Recycling Center Director Colin Alexander. The center processed 56 tons of plastic, cardboard, and papers during the month of April. Alexander says that's more than 2,000 pounds of recyclables more each month compared to last year's totals.
For a place that just has 5 employees, that's cranking out the numbers pretty good, particularly because it's all volunteer-based in terms of people bringing their stuff in. I'm really proud of that.
Alexander says Moorhead is unique because the center is mostly run with volunteers. MCRC does not use inmate labor and has 24-hour drop-off, unlike similar operations in other cities. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this. Support for programming on Moorhead State Public Radio comes from Prevent Child Abuse Kentucky and the Child Victims Trust Fund, reminding listeners that child sexual abuse can happen to any child at any place by anyone. 95% of the time, the perpetrators are someone the child knows and trusts. Funding in part by a grant from the Child Victims Trust Fund. Learn more about preventing child sexual abuse at pcaky.org.
Hepatitis A rates in Boyd, Greenup, and Carter counties are the highest in the state, WMKY's Jacob Lindberg reports.
The Daily Independent reports 3 more cases of the disease have been documented in the area in the last 24 hours, all restaurant employees. Officials say the chance of patrons contracting the disease is very low. The Kentucky Department of Public Health has tallied 629 cases of hepatitis A in the state thus far. 6 have been fatal. Though cases in Jefferson County outnumber Boyd, Greenup, and Carter combined, the eastern Kentucky counties easily have the highest Hep A incident rates when factoring in population. The Ashland-Boyd County Health Department recommends vaccinations and careful hand washing for all residents. For WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Investigators with the Lexington Fire Department say a propane torch ignited a leaky acetylene tank, causing the explosion that ripped through UPS Freight yesterday. The explosion happened around 7:45 a.m. at the facility on Blue Sky Parkway. Lexington fire officials tell LEX 18 their initial belief that the explosion was an accident was true. They say a spark from the torch caused the gas to explode. The explosion injured 8 people and caused a gaping hole in the roof. The driver who was in the truck and the torch operator were more severely injured than the 6 other in the vicinity, but all are expected to be okay.
An Ohio murder suspect has been arrested in Georgetown. WKYT reports Deshaun Sally was apprehended without incident during a traffic stop yesterday. Sally is suspected of murder in Columbus, Ohio. Sally was a passenger in the vehicle. A female driver has been detained for investigation.
2 Fleming County men have been indicted on child abuse charges. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, a grand jury handed down the indictments against 39-year-old Otis Hall and 40-year-old Jeffrey Gully. Hall is charged with first-degree criminal abuse and resisting arrest. He's accused of abusing a child under the age of 12 of whom he had custody. Gully is charged with 1 count of first-degree criminal abuse.
A Lexington road was reopened after a crash involving a motorcycle and a semi-truck. LEX 18 reports the motorcyclist was taken to the hospital with serious but non-life-threatening injuries after the crash on Newtown Pike yesterday. The road was shut down for a time, and police were on the scene doing traffic control.
Team spots are still available for the Trooper Island Golf Scramble at Eagle Trace Golf Course. The annual event raises money for local children to attend the week-long summer camp July 9th through the 13th. Trooper Scott Farrell says they hope to raise around $3,000 for the camp.
It's the camp for underprivileged boys and girls, ages 10 to 12, and it's completely free. We don't charge anything for it. We pick them up on Mondays. They have a Trooper Island bus that we use, and then we bring them back on Friday evening to the parents. They'll meet us back for Friday evening.
Farrell says the experience is great for kids who may not be able to attend a summer camp otherwise. For more information on the camp or to register for the June 7th golf scramble, contact Farrell at 776-9474.
Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Lutergan Grimes is sounding more and more like a candidate for governor in 2019. As WUKY's Josh James reports, the Democrat says she's paying attention to those encouraging her to run.
Asked about a potential campaign for the top post at an event honoring voter registration efforts at a local high school, Grimes had this to say.
You know, I hope there is a future for us, and, you know, there's that encouragement there, and there are all these young people out there that are counting on somebody to fight for them, and most importantly, fight for education and the place that it should have and the educators across the state. So I'm considering it, and most importantly, just listening to the encouragement that's out there and the concerns that people have right now.
A gubernatorial run would dovetail with Grimes' tenure in the Secretary of State's office, which is term limited in 2019. The 39-year-old former Lexington attorney ran an unsuccessful bid to unseat Senator Mitch McConnell in 2015, losing by a 16-point margin. But in a possible matchup with Governor Matt Bevin, the Democrat could be up against an opponent whose popularity has taken a hit in recent months, according to one Western Kentucky University poll. Grimes joins Attorney General Andy Beshear, House Minority Floor Leader Rocky Adkins, and several others floated as possible candidates for governor next year. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
The Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky is partnering with the Bevin administration to help Kentuckians maintain coverage under the Health Medicaid Waiver Program. Kentucky Health was approved in January and should be implemented around the state starting July 1st. Adam Meyer is Secretary for the Cabinet for Health and Family Services. He says it's important that folks understand there are many ways to comply with the new waiver requirements beyond just working.
Work is certainly one of the ways that you can satisfy that particular component. However, so is job training, so is education, so is volunteering in your community, so is taking care of a family member or a child.
It's estimated 350,000 Kentuckians will be affected by the work requirement, and Meyer says it's crucial they maintain their coverage. The initiative should also help ensure people with substance abuse disorders so they can maintain their Medicaid coverage and get treatment services.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, tonight scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 2 a.m. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 69 and a chance of precipitation at 50%. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy skies with a high near 82, chance of precipitation is 60%. Tomorrow night, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 66, and a chance of precipitation at 40%. Saturday, a 20% chance of showers before 10 a.m., partly sunny with a high near 80, and Saturday night, partly cloudy skies with a low around 64. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 81 degrees in Ashland, 76 degrees in Inez, 73 degrees in Flemingsburg, 72 degrees here in Moorhead, 70 degrees in Winchester, and 68 degrees in Lexington.
On our feature segment today, the Rowan County Public Library has a new director. WMKY's Kyle Blankenbuehler has the story.
Tim Gamp says he barely remembers a time when he wasn't working in libraries. He spent one semester teaching art in public schools after earning his bachelor's degree, but later accepted a job as the branch manager for the Portsmouth Public Library.
I've been working in libraries. I started in 1998 in Portsmouth, Ohio. I graduated from Shawnee State University with a bachelor's degree in fine arts and quickly learned that there's absolutely nothing you can do with that in Southern Ohio. So I went ahead and I found a job where all they required was a bachelor's degree. And I took that position in 1998, and then around 2000, I discovered that I liked it, and I had the opportunity to get my master's, so I went ahead and did that.
Gamp earned his master's in library science from Kent State in 2004. He says he had no idea he wanted to work in libraries, but quickly found he enjoyed the job immensely.
As I started working in there, I found that I enjoyed the customer service aspect of it and helping people. I really have enjoyed helping people find what they need. And just kind of that, they really love it, and there's a look on their face when they find what they're looking for, and I enjoy helping other people.
Gamp was selected as a finalist for the RCPL director's position in March. His first day at RCPL was April 23rd. He says he spent most of his library career declaring he never wanted to be a director.
I felt like I would be pulled out of the public eye and wouldn't be able to help the public any longer. But in 2010, I took a position as a regional consultant for the state library. When I took that position, I worked a lot with the directors and was able to see that they had a little more influence than I thought, and they actually could help people more than a person on the front staff. So I'm really excited about the opportunity to help the community in a way that I've not been able to before.
Gamp says one of his goals moving forward is to make the library a place for families, and hopes they consider it as an option when making plans, just as they would going to the movies or visiting City Park.
One of the things I would really like for the library to be is on people's minds whenever they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. On a Friday night or Thursday night or any night of the week, they're sitting around going, well, what are we going to do tonight? We can go to the movies or we can watch these shows. But I want one of the thoughts to often be, hey, I wonder what's going on at the library. So I would like to expand programming to the community that involves them thinking of the library as a destination, a place to go and do something and to find something.
One of Gamp's main concerns is making sure the library remains relevant. Gamp follows Helen Williams, who retired as library director earlier this month. For WMKY, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
It's 4:47 and 72 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Logan Pemberton. We're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this stormy Thursday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
It's championship night for the Vikings. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. With all the chips in the middle of the table, Rowan County faces Greenup County in the 16th Region Tournament's championship game tonight at 6 in Grayson. Rowan is the region's defending champ, and Coach Scott Collins believes that gives his 30-6 Vikings a key edge.
I think so. The kids, you know, that we have back that were there last year, you know, they know what it takes to get there and do that. So, you know, obviously having done it last year, it's not anything new to them now. So, you know, hopefully, you know, they'll just prepare themselves and, like I said, be ready to play.
As for Greenup County, Coach Greg Logan says his 35-5 Musketeers can't afford to give Rowan any free bases and easy scoring chances.
Major League Baseball, college baseball, those are situations. How does those guys score that gets on by an error or walk? I don't know, but, you know, somehow, some way, it seems like every time you walk one, they find a way to score somehow. So those situations, I think you've got to minimize those.
This will be the first meeting between Greenup and Rowan this season. The Morehead State baseball team begins NCAA tournament regional play tomorrow night at 6 with a game in South Carolina against host Clemson. With possibly 10,000 people packed into Doug Kingsmore Stadium, Coach Mike McGuire promises his Eagles will be ready to take on the 5th-ranked Tigers.
We're not going to be scared. We know if we go and play well, we can win. If we go and we don't play well, you know, we can get our butts kicked. We've lost to some really, you know, lesser teams this year. We've beaten some really good teams this year. We know that It's more important how we play than who we're playing.
Clemson is 45-14 this season. MSU is 37-24. The Eagles are scoring an average of more than 9 runs a game. The Cincinnati Reds are enjoying a day off as they prepare to open a series tomorrow night in San Diego against the Padres. With the help of Adam Duvall's grand slam and Scott Schebler's 2-run homer, the Reds yesterday rallied to win at Arizona 7-4. Manager Jim Riggleman says it was much needed for Cincinnati.
You know, we've been down a little bit. You know, we won a game in Colorado we shouldn't have won. We lost a game that we should have won. So, you know, we come in here, lose a couple, and then when you're facing Corbin, the way he's been going, to hang in there and battle like we did, that was big.
At 20-37, the Reds have won just 2 of their last 6 games. A Canada goose settled into right center field during a rain delay at the Detroit Tigers game, and an attempt to remove it ended in chaos. The grounds crew at Comerica Park in Detroit set off 2 firecrackers, and another member gave chase last night. The bird tried to escape, but crashed into an LED board on the 3rd deck and fell 2 levels into the stands. After several moments, a veterinarian who was attending the game wrapped the stunned goose in a blanket and took it to the concourse, where it was released outside the stadium and dashed into nearby bushes. After the rain delay, the Tigers went on to beat the Los Angeles Angels 6-1. A mid-Michigan girl attending a minor league game has been hospitalized after being hit in the head by an errant ball. WNEM-TV reports the girl was attending a Great Lakes Loons game yesterday at Midland's Dow Diamond. She was sitting in a grassy area of the right field berm when she was hit by the foul ball. Dow Diamond Chief Operating Officer Scott Little says the girl first was treated by medical personnel, who then took her to a hospital. Her condition isn't known. Authorities have not released her name or age. Morehead State basketball coach Preston Spradlin credits hard work for helping the Eagles score a pair of talented recruits. Spradlin says his program was fortunate last week to sign both Memphis Prep standout guard Malik Green and 6'7 Northwest Florida State college forward Ja'Cory Wilson.
I don't want to say fell into our lap, but I just think, you know, working and recruiting and staying the course and just being diligent with that is where it paid off, and my staff did a terrific job.
Green and Wilson complete MSU's 2018 recruiting class, which also includes Mississippi High School guard Tata Strickland and 6'11 West Virginia postman Sasha Suhanoff. Coming off its first NCAA tournament appearance in 31 years, the Marshall men's basketball team will take an 8-day trip to the Bahamas in August. Coach Dan D'Antoni says the Thundering Herd will depart August 10th, then play 3 exhibition games in Nassau and return to Huntington on August 17th. The NCAA rules allow Marshall to hold 10 days of practices prior to leaving Huntington. The Cleveland Cavaliers are in Oakland ready to start the NBA Finals tonight against the Golden State Warriors. This is the 4th straight year that Cleveland has met the Warriors in the Finals, but star Cavs forward LeBron James says that's because the Warriors are one of the best teams in the NBA.
Listen, Golden State is one of the best teams I've ever played. It's one of the best teams that's ever been assembled. And then they added Kevin Durant. So what does that do to them? It even makes them even more dangerous and, you know, even more powerful and great. And, you know, and it's just, it's for me as a competitor, it's fun.
Of the 3 years the teams have met in the finals, the Cavs have only came out on top once. That was in 2016. Tonight's game tips off at 9 o'clock. And lastly in sports, according to TMZ Sports, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Philadelphia Police are being sued by a fan who punched a police horse after the team won the NFC Championship last year, claiming that he did not intentionally punch the horse. Andrew Turnetta claims that he did not punch the horse during a tailgate altercation, as the police report states, but instead claims the police started beating him up while simply hanging out with a friend outside the stadium. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host a father-child camp on June 9th, an Eagle Day camp June 11th through 14th, and Morehead State Team Camp June 22nd through the 24th. You can get more information by calling the men's basketball office at 783-5140 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell after President Trump slapped tariffs on the EU, Mexico, and Canada, sparking fears the U.S. could enter a trade war with some key partners. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 251.94, or just over 1%, finishing at 24,415.84. The S&P 500, not quite as weak, down 18.74, or 0.7%, at 2705.27. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 20.34, at 7442.12. The Trump administration said tariffs on steel and aluminum imports from the EU, Canada, and Mexico will take effect at midnight tonight. The EU followed up the U.S. announcement by saying it would impose countermeasures of its own, while Canada's foreign minister said the country plans to slap dollar-for-dollar tariffs on the U.S., and Mexico responded by saying they would impose tariffs on apples, pork bellies, and flat steel imported from the U.S. Boeing and Caterpillar are two companies that are vulnerable to trade tensions, given the large amount of business they do overseas, fell 1.7% and 2.3% respectively. In recent days, markets around the globe have been on edge over concerns surrounding the Eurozone's third largest economy, which of course is Italy. News surrounding fresh efforts to form a government have helped alleviate fears over the past day. That being said, the Stoxx 600 Index did show a loss of 0.625% in today's trade. In economic news, the Commerce Department said consumer spending jumped 0.6% last month, the biggest gain in 5 months. The department also said the personal consumption expenditures, or PCE price index, rose 0.2% in April. General Motors shares shot up almost 13% after the company said the SoftBank Vision Fund will invest $2.25 billion in the automaker's self-driving cars. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.8% at $66.98 a barrel. Gold was down 0.2% at $1,304 an ounce. As mentioned, in Europe, stocks were down today, with the Stoxx 600 finishing down 0.625%. In Asia, stocks were strong, with the Nikkei up 0.8%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1.375%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performer was Visa. It was the only stock in the Dow 30 that finished with a gain, while your worst performers in the Dow Industrials were Procter & Gamble and Caterpillar. In the S&P 500, the best performers were GM and Corning, while the worst performers were Dollar Tree and Dollar General. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 37 cents at 77.73, Marathon Petroleum down 52 cents at 79.03, AEP down 6 cents at 67.94, AK Steel down 5 cents at 4.53, CSX down 99 cents at 64.65, and Kroger was down 64 cents to finish at 24.34. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to click it or ticket. Seatbelt use in Kentucky is 86.8%, below the national average of 90.1%. Half of those killed last year in motor vehicle crashes were not wearing a seatbelt. The Kentucky Department of Highway Safety reminds you to buckle up every trip, every time. It will save lives. Click it or ticket.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 2 a.m. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 69 degrees. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 82 and a chance of precipitation at 60%. Tomorrow night, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 66 and a chance of precipitation at 40%. Saturday, a 20% chance of rain showers before 10 a.m., partly sunny with a high near 80. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 81 degrees in Ashland, 76 degrees in Inez, 73 degrees in Flemingsburg, and 72 degrees here in Moorhead.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition today. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson, WUKY's Josh James, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Kyle Blankenbuehler. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.